What a wonderful day. How blessed are we? We have been able to come out here on a Saturday to worship our great God, and this world has left us alone. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing that we ought to be thankful for. It's a blessing that we ought to pray for continuously. It worries me about our children, doesn't it, you? It does. But I have enjoyed so much today. I have really felt the Holy Spirit, felt the Lord has been with us. And I know I'm the last man standing, so to speak. So I will try to be brief. But pray for me while I stand before you. Look with me in 1 Peter, in the 3rd chapter. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, in the 15th verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, let me try to engage you a little bit, since it's this late on a Saturday. Maybe I can keep you awake a little bit. Let me ask you a question. How important is it for all God's children to know what they believe? And let's add to that. How important is it for God's children to know what they believe and why they believe it? I had a sister came to me the other day, and she said, "Brother Steve, a man came up to me and asked me what we believed. He seemed to be searching for the truth, and I couldn't tell him anything. Lord, I wish you'd have been there, because you could have told him." Brothers and sisters, I think all of God's children ought to be able to tell it. We should be ready to give an answer. That requires studying God's Word. I saw a video of some Christians from China who had never held this Bible before in their lives. They grabbed it and they did this. And she started speaking. I couldn't understand a word she was saying, but I think I know what she was saying. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine not having God's Word? If we are not studying this every day, are we taking it for granted? Now, that's a question you need to answer for yourself, but I believe the answer is yes. We need to be studying God's Word. When somebody comes up to you and asks you about what you believe, especially somebody who is searching for the truth, you can't always say, "Well, you need to talk to my pastor." The pastor's not going to always be there. Scripture says you need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. And if you are ready to give an answer for that hope that lies within you, it's going to require a little bit of studying. It's going to require some knowledge. Now, what I want to just talk about for a few minutes, I believe that if somebody is coming searching for the truth, there's a few essential things that we could help them with. Now, this is just a couple of my opinion. You know, these other preachers may, you know, add to that, and I'm sure there's other things to add to it. But the first thing is we need a blessing from God. He hides things from some and he reveals it to others, does he not?
That's right.
We need his blessing. But let's talk about what's the first thing that a person's going to ask you about what you believe. The first thing, more than likely, he's going to ask you something about salvation, isn't he?
Right.
How do you believe you're saved? That's what he's going to ask. So the first essential thing for us to realize is that this Bible teaches more than one type of salvation. That's essential. We need to understand between the two. Now, there's been some in our own people who are trying to get away from what is called a temporal or a timely salvation. One of the arguments is, well, the word temporal is not in the Bible, and the word timely is not in the Bible. Well, let's see what's in the Bible. Let's take a look. Turn with me to the 14th chapter of Exodus. Let's see what's in the Bible. The 14th chapter of Exodus, let's look at the 29th verse. Now what's going on here? The children of Israel are fleeing. They are fleeing Egypt, and Pharaoh and the army is right behind them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. That day, salvation. He didn't save them from hell. He didn't save them from eternal damnation. He saved them from Pharaoh and that army right behind them. That is a timely salvation, is it not? It's a timely deliverance. It's a that day salvation. Heard a preacher say one time, that's close enough for government work to temporal or timely now. That's that day. That's right now. Look back at 1 Peter. Let's turn back over there to 1 Peter now. Look at the 20th, the third chapter, the 20th verse. I think I'm right here. Twentieth verse says, "When which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." When does it save us? Now. Now we've seen a that day salvation and we've seen a now salvation. That's a timely deliverance. If you don't like the word timely, if you don't like the word temporal, that's okay. We can use that day and we can use now. It works just fine. It's a timely deliverance. Look at the 8th chapter of Matthew. In the 8th chapter of Matthew, in the 23rd verse, we see that the disciples and the Lord is in their ship. Go to the other side, he said. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Save us, we perish. They were not asking him to save us from hell. They were not asking him to save us from eternal damnation. They were asking him to save us from drowning. That's a timely deliverance. It's a that day deliverance. It's a right now deliverance. They were expecting him to save them right now. Can you see that? Can you see the difference there? Can you see it? Time and time again in this scripture, we find a salvation spoken of that has a timely deliverance. As a matter of fact, the majority of time, that's what it's speaking of. It's speaking of a timely deliverance. First Timothy, it speaks of a woman being saved in childbirth. That's a timely deliverance. On the other hand, we know that if somebody is seeking the truth, he's going to want to know about eternal salvation. He's going to want to know about it. And if he's been of this world, he's going to be thinking or talking about a salvation that he has something to do with. Well, we know that the Scriptures teach us that it is entirely by the grace of God. Entirely by the grace of God. So I want to give you some scriptures that's going to help take care of that work salvation that he's going to bring forth. Turn with me now to the 19th chapter of Matthew. The 19th chapter of Matthew, in the 25th verse, we'll go down here. Now, Jesus has been speaking to them, and they've already asked him about how can they be saved. In the 25th, he said, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, these next five words will take care of a salvation that is by works, that is preached from every pulpit in this country. Our Lord said, with men, this is impossible. Can you hear that? With men, this is impossible. It cannot be done. It cannot be accomplished with men. But with God, all things are possible. With men, it's impossible. We need to know the difference between a timely deliverance and an eternal deliverance. By the way, that's what salvation means. It means deliverance. We need to know the difference. And we need to know and how to be able to tell somebody about that difference and show them in the Scriptures. Now, what about Peter? Peter heard this. Peter heard the Lord say, with men, this is impossible. And it wasn't too long later that Peter was preaching at Pentecost. And over in the second chapter of Acts, let's look over here. In the second chapter of Acts, in the 40th verse, Peter's preaching, he said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, they're going to bring this forward here. What about this? You know, Peter says that we can save ourselves. Well, there's no contradiction here. There's no contradiction whatsoever. Can a man save himself from an untoward generation? Absolutely. Peter didn't say anything about saving yourself from hell or eternal damnation. He said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Untoward, crooked, or wicked generation. Can we save ourselves from that? Absolutely. How do we save ourselves from being a liar? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. How do you save yourself from being a thief? You don't steal. How do you save yourself from being a drunk? You don't drink alcohol. That's how you do it. That's how you save yourself from this untoward generation. There is a difference between a timely and an eternal deliverance, and God's children need to know it. We need to know the difference, and we need to be able to tell somebody about it. God forbid that a man or a woman's coming forth seeking the truth, and they come to you, and you can't tell them. And you have to say, well, you need to go talk to my pastor. You know what? They might not be ready yet to go talk to the pastor. They came to you for a reason, didn't they? Scripture says we need to be ready ready to give an answer. Be ready to give an answer to the hope that lies within you. Be ready. There's another essential thing that I believe that we need to know, and we need to know how to tell people. There is a law that is called the law of cause and effect. Now, we use this law every day in our life, the law of cause and effect. Let me give you an example. I use a medical example because I was in medicine for so long. If you get a virus, okay, the virus would be the cause. It's going to produce some effects. Maybe a cough, maybe a high fever, okay? But that's cause and that's effect. But we can see that in the scriptures as well, okay? We can see it in the scriptures, the law of cause and effect. It simply states that in the world that we live in, there are causes and there are effects as a result of this cause, okay? Now, one of the biggest examples that the religious world will tell us that they mess up on cause and effect is belief, the simple term belief. They believe that belief is a cause for eternal life. The scriptures teach us that belief is an effect of eternal life. What's another word that we can use besides effect? Evidence. Evidence. Evidence of eternal life. Now, remember over in Galatians when the Apostle Paul is talking to those folks over at the churches of Galatia, and he tells them, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And he says, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now, the perversion that they were bringing in, they were trying to bring in circumcision as a prerequisite for eternal salvation. But I want to look at the word pervert. Perverting the gospel of Christ. See, that word pervert means to turn around. It means to turn around. And that's just exactly what they're doing with cause and effect. They're turning it around. Look at 1 John 5 and 1. And I'm getting to a point here. I'm going to try to close. But look at 1 John. We'll just go over a couple of these. 1 John 5 and 1 said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Right. Now, what does the religious world say? The religious world will tell you that the cause is whosoever believeth. And they will tell you that the effect is being born of God. But look at this. Whosoever believeth. Believeth. Is that present tense? Whosoever believes. That's present tense, see? How about this? Jesus is Christ is born of God. That's present and past tense, isn't it? So see, we're looking at the cause here to be born of God. Because that comes first. What's the effect? The effect is whosoever believeth. So what does the religious world do? They pervert it and they turn it right around. And they mix up cause and effects. And they continue to do that throughout the scriptures. There's just so many that we could go over. John 10 and 26, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." The religious world says the cause is you are not of my sheep. And that's right. They say the cause is, "But ye believe not." And the effect is you are not of my sheep. But the Lord didn't say you're not of my sheep because you won't believe. See, he didn't say that. The Lord tells these wicked Jews that the reason they don't believe is because they are not a sheep to start with. They're not a sheep to start with. And you see what the religious world does. They pervert the gospel of the grace of Christ. They turn it around. That's what perverting the gospel is. They turn it around. I'll come to a close. I know that we're getting tired here today. We could go on so much with this. But, you know, it's important for us as God's children to know what we believe. It's important for us as God's children to understand why we believe it. And if we're not reading and studying this scriptures and this Bible, then we're taking it for granted. This is one of the greatest blessings that we have as God's people. His preserved word, brother. His pure word. It is a great blessing. Let us not take it for granted. Let us study. And let us always be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. Let's be ready. And God forbid that somebody comes along looking for the truth. And because we can't give an answer, they move on somewhere else. God forbid that that ever happens. So let us be ready to give an answer. And by the way, that's going to cause you to search your own heart. The scripture tells us that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to grow in grace and to grow in the knowledge. To be able to do that requires a little bit of time. And we need to put forth that time and study God's word and be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. May God bless you. I've enjoyed being with you.